What a day already, huh? I tell you, this word, we talked about it a little bit already in the open door class, and if the response from there is any indication, I said last week, buckle up. Buckle up. Buckle up. Not a word for someone that just wants to be comfortable. So, just putting that out there. As I said, if I put a subtitle on it, which I didn't, it's like, don't get too comfortable. Because this word will stretch us, this word will challenge us, this word will... maybe sometimes it'll anger us. He's asking much of us in 2019 because he's given us much. And I began introducing a little bit about this word. I didn't know exactly what the phrase would be, but I knew increase was the idea, and I kind of introduced it 2 weeks ago. In the Sunday before Easter, when we read that passage about the increase of his government. What's interesting is I saw Tiffany at one point, she was looking forward to the new year. She said, do you ever have a word for yourself for the year? And she said, my word is increase. And I was like, boy, you don't even know. you don't know all the ramifications of that, but she might, you know. But let's just look at the passage for a little bit, and then I'll tell you a little bit about more of how it came about. But the passage is from Isaiah 54. This is a prophetic word to a land. It starts out saying, "O barren woman." So it was talking about a place where there's loss and deadness and desolate. But the idea was, no, we gotta come out. I'm bringing you out of that. I'm bringing you out of that. So even if that's where you are, understand, the Lord's bringing you out of that. I believe it's bigger than that for us. But if that's where you are, then take it for that context. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And we're gonna spend a little time. I don't know how far we'll get today. I did this as a two-parter because I just had this thought that we probably won't get very far, and we probably won't. But let me tell you a little bit about this. You'll see some of these throughout the lobby, throughout different places in the building, and you may see there's different colors. When I'm creating things, I was like, well, what looks best? And so I tried it in all kinds of colors. And after I did that, I thought, well, I'm going to print them out in a bunch of colors. And the reason I really felt like that was relevant was that our walk is personal. And the increases that he's bringing in Margaret's life will be different than the increases in Keith, although they're married and coupled up. Some of them will be the same. But it's personal. And so, your color might be very specific, and that's just more of an artsy thing, but hey, some people connect with stuff like that. Also, if you're looking at it, and the word is increase, and you look at this and think, well, that's a decrease sign. That's a less than sign. So, and some of you will spot that. I think Karen already said she spotted that was a less than sign. And here's how my mind works. When I was working on this, I started out with a increase sign. But then I started putting the words walk into the increase. And we read left to right. We do equations left to right. And what we were walking toward, if I did it with the increase sign, was we were walking to less. Turn it upside down, and it's the decrease sign, but we're walking to more. And we all know that we function in an upside-down kingdom. Upside-down kingdom. You want to be rich? You got to be poor. You want to be at the first? You got to be last. So I thought it was really cool. But I knew there'd be some mathematician or somebody looking at that and saying, you're saying increase, but you're putting a decrease sign on there. And it wasn't lost on me. It was purposeful. It's purposeful. So enlarge the place of your tent. I said at the end of last year, well, last message of the year was, we're building on a sure foundation. And as we looked at that passage from Isaiah that said, "For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, our government will be on his shoulders, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." And I introduced that and said, the Lord wants his increase of his rule and his reign in our heart. And I knew that as that word was being sparked right there at the holidays, because that's the first time in all these years I ever saw that to the degree that I saw it. And I knew that there was a stirring. And I said this in class this morning, I love when the Lord gives us at the end of the year an introduction to sort of what he has in mind for the new year. And I say that to tell you that we serve a God who is not willy-nilly. We serve a God who always is working out his plan, who's always preparing us for what's next. He's always showing us. He's not just dropping this bomb on us and saying, oh, okay, I'm changing directions now. No, he's always leading us. And so as we wound out last year with the hint of this idea of increase, it was very clear to me that he's challenging us. When he says enlarge the place of your tent, he's saying prepare for growth. Prepare for growth. I remember soon after, I don't know if it was right after or even maybe right before I came on as pastor, Pastor Ben gave a message that said, how big is your God? How big is your God? So this idea of enlarging the place of your tent, stretching the curtains wide, means that he's asking us as a church, but also us personally. This is personal and it's corporate. What you do personally will affect us corporately. The steps you take, the obedience, you're living this walk with Jesus out loud, live, every day. And the people that he brings in your path and how you reach out to them and care for them will affect us. And so it's corporate and it's personal, but he's saying, don't hem yourself in so tight and so close. He's saying, no, throw those cords out longer. Widen your tent because there's more people I want in my kingdom. More people I want in my kingdom, and I'm going to require things of you to accomplish that assignment. Now, I'll do the ultimate work, he's saying. We know that. It's not dependent on our skills and all of that. They come into play, but it's not limited by our limitations. But enlarge the place of your tent. And I want you to think about, what does that mean for me? What specifically does he want me to do? And I don't know the answer to that. That's something, again, that's personal, but you gotta ask. You got to ask yourself, Lord, in what ways do you want me to enlarge my tent? In what ways do you why do you want me to open the curtains wide? It's interesting when you think about just even the literal idea of opening up a curtain wide. What happens when you open up a curtain wide? A whole lot of light shines. It's interesting. Yesterday, some of you know that I sell antiques, and I was for the new year, I was cleaning out some stuff from my store space yesterday, and I had this big old thing on it hanging from the wall by the window, and some of it was actually hanging over the window. And And when I removed it, I was just astounded by the volume of light that came into the room. And I was reminded, when we stretch the curtain wide. Now, personalize that to not just a room, but personalize that. What if I open the curtain of my life and the light of Jesus that is in me, the light of Jesus that was in me, there's a vulnerability to this. What was part of Sean's prayer this morning was that we'll worship with nakedness and vulnerability. Don't take your clothes off. Nakedness and vulnerability. Vulnerability. There's going to be a vulnerability to this word this year, and I've referenced this a number of years, but I believe it's so important to allow what's inside to be seen more. Enlarge the place of your tent. What's that mean for me? It's interesting, this whole idea of Isaiah 54, it's actually a love song from God to his church, to his people, what's described as his separated bride. But the whole idea of the prophetic word was that his plan was to restore. His plan was to restore. So again, if there's a restoration that needs to take place, I know part of the discussion in class led to some people talking about, wow, what if part of this word is for my children? What if part of this word is for my children? Well, if it's for your children, Lord will bring that about. There's so many applications to this word. And if it's that personal to you that the Lord is bringing in my children, then you pay attention to that and pursue that with God as you're asking him, Lord, in what ways am I to be involved in that process? Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. It's interesting, when I was thinking about this passage, for whatever reason, I was led to this word from 2 Kings. And if you're here today and you're thinking, you don't know my situation, and this whole idea of increase, it sounds really, really good, but I just don't see that happening for me. I see it happening for others, and I see it happening for, but I don't see it happening for me, and when is my time? When is my turn? And for whatever reason, I was drawn to this word from 2 Kings, and I want us to pay attention to it. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So this idea is that we're coming from a place of need. A person's coming from a place of desperation and fear that her sons are going to be taken from her, and that she has debt, and they're going to come after her debt. And Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your closet?" he asked. "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Now, interesting, look how the answer changed from nothing there at all to something. A lot of times we have in our mind what we don't have. And that's our focus, what we don't have. That was her focus, and she was living in fear because of that. Her focus was on what I don't have. And she was looking at the facts of the situation and thinking that the creditor is going to come for my sons and for what I owe. "Your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil." I want you to keep that in mind. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars." Something was required. Something was required of her. Something's going to be required of us, even in our place of need or a place of fear or a place of uncertainty, as it was with her. I love this instruction too. Don't ask for just a few. Don't settle for the minimum. Don't settle for the minimum. This is a time of stretching our tent wide enlarging the place of our tent. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." There's a word in that. There's a word in that for us about the idea of enlarging your tent. If you're in a place of fear, a place of, I don't have enough, a place of trying to figure out how is this going to work, this creditor's coming, and there's nothing in there except fill in the blank on what's there, what the except is, because the Lord will use whatever that except is. You look at what that is in your walk, whoever this part of this word applies to. Don't let your perception of your limitations or your perception of the situation or the facts or the details stop you from taking that step. Even this morning as we were in worship and the Lord was doing things, and I don't know what it was at what point during worship, but Logan and Isaac and some of the young people got out of their seat and said, "I'm stepping out of my seat." I don't know what prompted that. It's none of my business, but something prompted them to get out of their seat. The simple act of getting out of a seat in a worship service is enlarging your tent. Some of the simple things we do within the confines of a service might be enlarging your tent. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords. Boy, when I saw this part of this word, it was actually this scripture, when I read this part of this scripture, it's when the Lord said, "That's it right there. This is it. There's many layers to this word and to the scripture, but that was the part. Don't hold back this year. Don't hold back on your faith, whatever that looks like. Even if it's a faith that says, "But I have doubt." Jesus responded to the man that said, "I have doubt. Help me overcome my unbelief." He responds to that vulnerability and that honesty. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. I read something this week. This was a pastor, was teaching a little bit about this, and he was talking about the idea of lengthening your cords. And he said sometimes we function with this short cord syndrome where I got to keep everything close. Got to keep everything close, because if it's close, it's manageable and it's tidy and I can control it. But the farther I let things go, the more I can't control it. The more it can get away from me. It's kind of like when your kids start growing up and getting older and you let them start making decisions for themselves and you sort of lengthen the leash a little bit. And if you're a parent of even a preteen, you've probably experienced that to some degree, and it's scary. But as we do that, it's how they grow. It's how they learn to be responsible. But it's scary. And so this idea of short cord syndrome, throw that out the window in 2019. Lengthen your cord. Lengthen your cord. As he directs you, don't just willy-nilly say, "Okay, I'm just going to go out and put cords in all these different directions and begin 12 ministries." Now, listen. He'll have specific instructions for all of us. I believe that. Some of it will be very personal to you. But I believe all of it will affect us corporately. Lengthen your cord. Think about what that, boy, there's so many applications of this idea of lengthening your cord. Maybe part of, for some of you, lengthening your cord means, man, I gotta dig into the word more. Maybe it's just that simple. I gotta understand what the word of God says because I just don't get it. I don't know who this Jesus is. I don't know what he's asking of me. Maybe part of your lengthening your cord means, hey, I gotta study the scriptures more. Maybe for some of you, it's, I see all these people in worship and I want to, but I'm not a hand raiser, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. Okay, so worship him anyway. In a way that takes you deeper, that he's stretching you, but maybe you don't have to do what anybody else is doing. You get to be you in this walk. Maybe it's maybe lengthening your cord. Part of lengthening your cord is, man, I got to start giving more. You know, it's interesting. Last week I said the tree was going to be gone. The tree was going to be gone, and then we were only keeping it up through the end of the year. And I got a message from Larry. He said, "Hey, Kelly and I were talking on the way home. Why does the tree have to go down? Why don't we just put something else on it?" So I was like, works for me. So now there's snowballs and snowflakes and a few cardinals. And why does that matter in the context of this? Because when we put that tree up, you guys responded. There wasn't a week went by, I don't think, that somebody didn't take something off that, put it in an envelope with some money and give it to some part of this ministry. And it's not that we're begging for money, or that's not even the point. But when we allow ourselves to stretch our tent financially, I've talked about this numerous times in my life. I was a young reporter making $180 a week with a college debt. That's how I started my career. And when Connie met me and found out what I made, I'm surprised she stayed with me. Because it was all about money, she said. Yeah. But to begin tithing on what we made, on what I made, seemed ridiculous. Allow your cord to be strengthened in financial matters in your life. Lord will not, he will not fail you. He will not fail you. So there's a lot of layers to this idea of lengthening your cord, and I'm not going to get to everything today. This is a two-part series, and we'll be talking about many of these things throughout the year because it's relevant. What does this look like? What does this mean? And we'll be giving more and more examples of what that means. So when I was thinking about this idea of not holding back and lengthening your cord, I was reminded of this post, and I shared this in our class last week. This came from Sean Danks. He saw this dandelion, and he took a picture of it, and then he wrote this. He said, "I saw this and stopped me in my tracks. Yep, that's a dandelion on December 28th in Ohio. I show you this because coming into the new year," now he had no idea what this word was, no idea what we were going to be talking about. "I show you this because coming into the new year, I want to be as fierce as this dandelion. You see, it ignored all the others who said, it's not time." How he knew the dandelions were talking to one another, I don't know. Eggnog. "You see, you'll be all alone. You'll be all alone. Others will mock you or maybe do this and you may not survive. If you step out, if you emerge from the rock, you might die. Others will mock you. In spite of it all, this guy came, perhaps to challenge me and to challenge all of you and spread out the life that his creator has given him For to only give glory to the Lord God Almighty, simply because that is what he was made to do. Yep, I want to have a fierce, daring, this is what I am created for, I don't care if I go alone kind of faith. Just like this dandelion. That is an example of not holding back, and that's an example of lengthening his cord to say, this is how I want to function in 2019. Even if I'm mocked, for standing for Jesus, even if I'm mocked for being a radical for him, even if I'm mocked for walking up to someone and saying, can I pray for you? The Lord has something for you. And I believe those on-the-spot times of words given, those of you who hear and function prophetically, step into that like never before. Don't hold back. Pay attention. Don't just, again, this isn't, there's this contrast between paying attention and being obedient and being willy-nilly weird. Don't be willy-nilly weird. Now, paying attention and being obedient might still look weird sometimes, but don't confuse the two. But if perhaps you do, we're going to love you anyway. Perhaps with some correction. Because what I don't want to happen is, okay, you said that, but this seems weird to me and I don't want to look weird. Sometimes things are going to look weird. I'm going to wrap it up here. Matthew, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Open that curtain. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The dandelion's goal, as Sean pointed out, might just be simply to praise my Creator. And I'm the only one doing it. Everybody else went into hiding. All the other dandelions went bye-byes for whatever reason. So lengthening your cord for you might simply be, I'm going to let the light of Jesus shine more out of my heart, more out of my life. It's as simple as that. That's what he's asking me to do, whatever that looks like. Proverbs 3 gives this context. Don't say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Lengthening your cord means if there's an opportunity in front of you and you have the means to do something about the opportunity, step into it. Don't say, oh, I'll wait for tomorrow, or I'm too tired, or that's not my ministry, that's Bambi's ministry, or that's not my ministry, that's Lori's ministry, or that's not my ministry, that's Sherry's ministry. It's right before you, and the opportunity is there, and I have the means. Whatever that looks like. It's a lot of context for that verse alone. Don't say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Part of this word is, this is a now word. There's going to be these now opportunities where you're going to find yourself thinking, oh, is this a place where I can enlarge my tent right now? Is this a place where I need to lengthen that cord? One more. 2 Corinthians 6:11, 13. We have spoken to you freely, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. This is where it gets scary. Our hearts are these pliable, tangible, soft places, hopefully, but they can be hurt. But he calls them on it. He calls them on it and says, hey, we've opened ourselves wide to you, but you haven't opened yourself hearts wide to us. And he's saying, do so. And part of this idea of lengthening your cord in 2019 is open your hearts. Open your hearts to one another, especially to one another, because that's what the body of Christ looks like. We care and love one another, and we hurt for one another. So glad to have the Logoides back with us. They were gone for a while because she was visiting her family, but it was like an extension of us was missing, because we've opened our hearts to them, and they've opened their hearts back, and there's this exchange, and there's this relationship that gets built, and when that's missing, there's a lack and a loss and a void, and so lengthen your cord by opening your heart. I'm going to stop there for today. There's so much about this word. But I want to challenge you. When the Lord said he wants to increase the rule and reign of his government in us, he means it as a church. Kim reminded us in class today, that back when we started a tiny little property over there, it's just kind of a bunch of people who love Jesus coming together, not having any idea what all God had in store. And that growth led to the building, for anybody that's in this room, everything up the ramp, from other side of the ramp up was our second expansion. And one of the things Kim said this morning, she said, you know, we built that, and when we began in that building, we learned very quickly that it was too small. It was too small. And she said, perhaps we didn't put our, enlarge our tent long, big enough. Perhaps we didn't lengthen our cords long enough when we started. She said, but the Lord worked in all of it. We've learned many valuable lessons through it. But she says, but in retrospect, you think, man, we built that building, and within a matter of months, we were out of room. We ended up having going to two services very quickly. So everything from there up, this is just a little history for those of you that are in this room that were not a part of either of those buildings. It was interesting in class, because in our class, we had about, I don't know, 20-some people in the class. There were three of us that were on Taylor Street. And probably about, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us were over there, and everybody else has been in here. It's not about the building, but it's about using this building. This idea of enlarging our tent and lengthening our cords, and the last part of that, which we'll get to next week, is strengthening our stakes, and we'll talk more about that. But it's all about the mission that God has for us as a body, but that involves us personally. Let's stand. Are you ready to walk into the increase? Somebody in class described this word as putting legs on it, putting legs on their walk. This is not a stagnant word. This is a movement word. It will require of us. It will require of you. We'll pick it up again next week. I want you this week to take this passage, and I want you to meditate on it. Meditate on it. Write down notes as you're praying about it. Personalize it for yourself, but personalize it for us as a body. How does this connect with what you have for me, Lord? But how does it connect with what we're doing as a body? Because I believe there's new ministries, as those tent stakes go out. Look for the increase. Look for the increase. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you have in mind. And I can say that confidently, and not even the least bit fearful, which is just a testimony of how good you are and how faithful you are. Just to confirm who you are and what you're doing. I pray for the lost that are around us that will come into this place as a cord is lengthened, as the tent is widened, as the curtains are opened up. We celebrate you today, Lord. We celebrate you. We celebrate what you have in mind. And we thank you that you have a plan and you know how to bring it together. It'll all be for you and for your glory. So in Jesus' name we pray.